Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello and welcome in. It is the Monday edition of The Drive. Bill Cameron on assignment in the Caribbean, putting the lime in the coconut all week long. Call me in the morning, right, Coach?
That's right.
So it's we got the carousel this week. We're doing a bullpen week here on the Drive. We got Drew at the controls, and he's going to allegedly be here all week long. We're gonna see if Cal Ripken over there can put in five straight days here at the Drive this week. It's gonna be your first 5 day week in a while if you do it. All right, so I'm off tomorrow. This is my only day. I'm headed to Monroe tomorrow. I got the bus ride from Troy. We're going to the Roundhouse, Fant Ewing Coliseum for a game Wednesday night, and then on to San Marcos, Texas, for Texas State on Saturday. Probably the last trip to San Marcos because Texas State's headed to the new Pac-12 conference. But yeah, I'm hitting the West Coast of the Sun Belt conference this week, and I enjoy the ULM trip. That's a quaint little campus. We usually stay next to a big. Kind of, I don't know if it's deliberately retro or if it's become retro just because it was like it hasn't been updated. But it's a shopping mall with you know, it's like it feels like I'm stepping back into the Santa Rosa Mall in the 90s down in Northwest Florida or something. But I enjoy that. And then that's a big, you talk about old school. That feels like they do rodeos and stuff at Fant Ewing. Like that's a big old school, like all purpose. Kind of a smaller Beard Eves sort of deal there. And so, but I'll be off for the rest of the week, and we've got a rotating cast of characters. Cast of characters coming in this week, including, I know, is it Brian tomorrow? And then, Jason tomorrow. Brian Wednesday. Jacob and I is going to stick around Thursday. And Justin Ferguson is going to be back from Missouri.
Right.
Because he's going to the Auburn Missouri game midweek. He'll be back in time for, in time to host the show on Friday. All of that right here on ESPN 106.7 with the coach Don Dunn sitting in the co-pilot's chair all week long, and we really appreciate both of you guys stepping up this week because Bill's like I don't know if he's I believe he has made it into international waters. we have some proof that Bill's living the island life. This week, and not that the weather's been all that unforgiving here in town, right? I know it's dipping into the 40s and could get pretty chilly tonight, but no, I mean he's enjoying some salt water, this week, and hopefully we'll get some stories from Bill when he's back next week. But in the meantime, I'm traveling with women's basketball for the Troy Trojans. So
big win for you guys.
Yeah, Trojans. Woo. Trojans took care of business on Saturday against Arkansas State. That's the Red Wolves were 5-0 in conference play. They beat Troy three times last year. So to not just beat them, but Troy throttled.
Yeah,
Ark State.
I listened to some of it.
Up 29 in the third. It was big win, convincing win for Troy, and they've got some momentum going on the road. And like we said, when they're done this week, we'll have played five of our nine Sun Belt road games already. So I mean, we've got some got a chance to pick up some momentum if all goes well this week. Speaking of picking up big wins at home. Right, needed conference wins at home. What a game Saturday! What a performance by Auburn! Back to the wall, desperate. Coach, you've coached some teams in that situation.
Yes,
where it's like you've lost a couple of heartbreakers.
Yep,
and this is a game where if the other team has the killer instinct of like a of a champion, they could come in here and try to finish off your season, or at least hand you a really a really bad loss, hand you like a do some damage.
Yes,
and Auburn instead, this was a gut check that Auburn passed, right? Yeah. Like this was a test. The semester's not over. Like they got more tests, coming up between now and the end of the season. Mm-hmm. But this is one you didn't want to fail. Like this is one that would have hurt. And for Auburn instead, I mean, Auburn was the better team in. Like it's tough to find aspects of that game Arkansas won.
Right.
Like Auburn was the better team for 40 minutes.
Yes.
And was the much better team. Auburn's up double digits for, I think, nearly 30 minutes. I know there's a 22, pretty much the entire game after the late three-pointer in the first half by Freeman. And Auburn dismantles Arkansas and picks up a huge win for Stephen Pearl and his team after, one of the more frustrating weeks in recent memory for Auburn men's basketball. And this team, I mean, they've got to believe, at least at home, they can play with anyone, and it's still Neville Arena, and you've still got to deal with what looks like one of the best offenses in the SEC. Just a it's a stomach settler, coach. That's one where things were getting uncomfortable. People were asking questions about the direction and the makeup of the team, and you had some folks even wondering, like, are they going to quit after these bad losses, or are you going to stop seeing the fight that you need to see out of this team? And instead, I mean, they took a hammer to Arkansas. They did what you're doing on the smoker, over at Country's Barbecue on the weekends, Coach. They cranked it up, and it was it was not low and slow either. Like no. they charbroiled.
Yeah, they beat them in every aspect.
Yeah, and a game I feel like you can tell us, like, you've been in some locker rooms where it's like you had to have that win. You know the opponent's good, but you went out and you got. You took care of business and you played the way sort of everyone was hoping, like the best case scenario of how this team's going to play is what you got.
Right, and especially in basketball, you have to almost own your home court. You cannot afford to lose at home. So that was even more crucial.
Absolutely.
And I got tickled at Calipari, being a Kentucky guy all my life.
And I like him. I like
do
him.
Too. He's a straight shooter. He was funny. He told it like it was. Yeah. He said, we're getting out of here. He said, we didn't have a chance. He said, we did not have a chance from the get-go.
You've been in those situations, too, where it's like, okay, you're feeling pretty good about how your season's going, and you stroll into an ambush on the road, and all you can tell the team afterward is, get on the bus. Like get on the bus and let's get ready to play the next one.
He said he was going to burn the tape.
Exactly. Yeah. Like all he said, we can't. Like the more you focus on that one from Arkansas's point of view, the worse it's going to get.
Right. And we were talking last Friday. It's so much harder in football when you get beat soundly because you have 6 days to live with that. You either get over it, you get better, you get worse. At least in basketball, you play again within 2 or 3 days. And they got a tough one on the road, Missouri. Missouri got beat, which they'd been playing well.
Oh, so, Missouri would be in the top 25.
Yeah, if they would have won last Saturday.
If they had not figured out a way to.
They lost Ole Miss, I believe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So if that, like, I don't think, Missouri lost to Ole Miss. If they had not lost to Ole Miss, they would have found, like, I think they would have found a lot of votes into the top 25. But no, for Auburn, I mean, it was outright, like, you look at what Auburn did to, Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the offense. There wasn't a person who could guard Keyshawn Hall. Like, I mean, what he's able to do, and he should be. I don't know if they have announcements yet, but he should be player of the week.
Yeah.
That's something. That, I mean, Keyshawn Hall is like. I mean, you haven't had someone do back to back 30-point games since was it Wesley Person, I believe, was the the record holder. Jani only had, for as great as Jani Broom was, it's like build the statue. Jani was fantastic. Jani played at Auburn 3 years and had two games in his Auburn career against SEC opponents where he scored at least 30 points.
Huh.
And they were both last season. They were towards the end of last season. Bama and Georgia last year. Keyshawn Hall had two 30-point games in a week. Like it is a. I mean, it was an incredible performance. He only missed three shots.
Yeah, four for five on 3 points.
Yeah, against Arkansas. And Steven wanted to point out that it was probably Keyshawn Hall's best defensive game of the season, because people have said, like, well, Keyshawn, as you know, the offense is there. He led the Big 12 in scoring last season, and he can set his teammates up. Folks are gonna look to the offense every game, but it's his defense that. When he's holding his own or better defensively, he can be a handful.
Yeah.
And Auburn got the best of Keyshawn Hall, and a big reason why they were able to beat Arkansas the way they did. Another reason, Coach, look at those rebounding numbers from Saturday. Like it's so one sided, and in the first half, In the first half, Arkansas only had like two offensive rebounds. Arkansas missed 19 shots in the first half, got the offensive rebound twice. Like Auburn was sending everybody, knowing they could recover in transition, and just imposing their will down low. It's a rugby game. It's a scrum. It's a battle at the line of scrimmage under the basket in the SEC. And Auburn was the more physical, like especially in that regard. Like Auburn was the more physical team, and more players were willing to get their hands dirty. And that's something where I think Calipari's run into this before. Arkansas ran into this with Musselman sometimes, where they'll have teams that are full of players you would want. But are they all players willing to get in there and do the dirty work that you need to do to win close possessions in a competitive basketball game or close basketball games, right? Like, I mean, like there's things you have to do that make the difference. Rebounding is a big one where, sometimes in the push to get the best athletes and the best scorers, are you prioritizing rebounding on the recruiting trail? It seems like Auburn has. They've got some guys that are really willing, that are willing to buy in and do what they have to do. And it's just like when it was a performance like that in a couple different aspects of the game, offense, defense, rebounding, the way Auburn just stayed in front of Arkansas and kept them from being able to drive to the basket and do what a lot of what they do in the half court. Like it's a big win. It's a huge win, and it's a game that, like, again, you can't throw a parade because you've got Missouri in a couple of days. But it's a game that I think shows, it shows it's what those guys needed to see.
Yes.
It's what I think a lot of fans needed to see. And it's just, it avoids just the thought of having to dig back from 0-3. Right? Like if you start conference play, and it can be done, right? You're talking about 18 games.
Right.
But if you're talking about trying to dig out of that, it's a lot of adversity for a new team that has some really tough games still coming up. But I think they showed that, especially at home, they're good enough to hang with anyone left on the schedule, and they're going to be a really tough out at Neville Arena. It's not as though they're going to be easy to beat away from home, although they are still looking for their first. They're 0-2 in like true road games this year, and one of them was Georgia over the weekend. But like. If they play like that, it's gonna be you have to bring your absolute best to beat Auburn at Neville when the team looks the way they did on Saturday. And I don't know who left on the schedule would have been able to beat that team. Now, are you gonna see that team every time out from here on out? Have they flipped a switch, or was that like a bounce back for a desperate team that was also facing an Arkansas team that had been on the road for much of the week, right? So there's reason to think, okay, well, maybe you don't see, unless Arkansas's got like championship medal maybe you don't see Arkansas at their absolute best, and you didn't see them at their absolute best, and you saw an Auburn team that, like I said, it's a gut check, and it's a gut check that they passed. Like, it's a test that they needed to do well to keep the GPA up for the semester, and they aced it. And that's something that I think, folks were waiting to see a performance like that, and that's what they got.
Yeah, no doubt, huge win at home, like you said. Tough, every week in this league, but you got to hold.
What's the
service at home?
What are the days immediately after a big win like? If you're trying not to trying to keep the team focused on, all right, well, hey, at some point you have to turn your attention to, and they have a shorter turnaround.
Yes,
like Missouri on Wednesday night,
right, and travel day.
They probably we can still talk about Saturday because it's our first episode of the show.
Right.
I don't know how much right now they're still talking about what they did well on Saturday versus what they need to do to beat Missouri.
Yeah, you hear the coach speak, 24-hour rule, enjoy it for 24 hours, cry in your milk for 24 hours, and then wash it out of your system, especially in basketball. I'm sure they probably have been working on Missouri since yesterday. I don't know if they practiced yesterday. I know there has to be a day off. I believe that's still the rule. But, yeah, it just makes everything better when you win. You sleep better. The food's better. Your girlfriend, your wife looks better. You look better.
That's a long trip back to Arkansas.
Oh, boy.
After a game like that. Because that's one of those where if you're watching something on the plane ride home – mm-hmm. And it makes you laugh, and a coach hears you like,
oh yeah.
You want to hear one of your players laughing after a game like that? You want to hear one of your players smiling? Yeah. Like it is a library.
Oh yeah, it's on the way home. You're scared to death.
Yeah, it is, and that's
As an assistant, you hope it's just not one of your guys. I remember we got beat when I was at Western Kentucky. Bobby Petrino's first year, we had beaten Kentucky. Mm. We go to South Alabama, we're ahead. Anyway, we mess around and get beat. Well, Bobby had a rule that you had to dress the same. We had our nice Western Kentucky warm-ups.
Right.
But one of my knuckleheads gets on, shirt tail out, wrapped around his waist, and I got chewed out more than the kid. But I took care of that kid on Monday.
that's poking the bear too, right?
And there was not a sound on that bus or plane.
Couple years ago, I might even keep the opponent vague because I don't want to throw anybody on the bus here. Right. A couple years ago with Troy, just a poor effort on the road early in the season, and it did not go well for Troy at all in a game that they thought they had a chance to win if they played well.
Yeah.
And to hear a conversation that ended up making a couple of players laugh,
mm-hmm.
on the bus ride home,
mm-hmm.
and a couple of coaches standing up and saying,
yeah,
like that's and it's not so much hey somebody's laughing, it's like look like take act like this bothers you,
right.
You know what I mean?
That's the deal right there.
Yeah, act like you have a problem with what you said, because you should.
Yeah, and Dan, kids are kids. They get over stuff easier than we do. And the coaches, and they probably didn't mean anything about it.
Oh, for sure.
But still.
And it was the culture. It was the culmination,
right?
Of the thought that this is something. It boiled over.
We've heard that story about Jimmy Johnson when they played so bad, the Cowboys. They were passing out the food on the plane, and he said, put it up. And Michael Irvin or somebody said, the next game they were playing bad, and he ran down and said, hey, boys, I want to eat on the way home tonight.
Oh, boy.
That's pros now.
Jimmy Johnson, taking the food away.
He didn't
now, we are talking 90s airline food, right? So
no, you're talking about a private charter, probably steak and lobster and everything else.
He's Don Dunn, the coach. I'm Dan Peck. 334-321-1390 is the number. We'd love to hear from you. We are wide open. We'll talk some football. There's quite a bit to get into with Auburn having landed some pretty important pieces for next year's team in the last couple of days. The NFL playoffs this past weekend were a really interesting set of games.
Really good games.
Yeah, really, really interesting set of games. I think it sets up four really interesting games coming up this weekend, and we're not done
tonight.
You know, Drew's Steelers in action against the Texans tonight. The winner of that one has the Patriots, and we know that the other ones
they're playing well,
and it's Josh Allen versus Bo Nix in the other game, which is a pretty good one in Denver. And we'll take a break and we'll come back with more. You are listening to the Monday edition of The Drive. Phone number is 334-321-1390, presented by Skybar. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Remember when you would dream about what...
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in hour number one of the Monday Drive. Dan Peck in the studio with the coach, Don Dunn. Drew at the controls. Love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. Skybar Hotline. And the Drive Hotline presented by Skybar. But it's, a lot going on. We mentioned big win for Auburn basketball against Arkansas on Saturday. Shout out to the women's team as well. Big win for LV.
That was a big win because of the way they played the game before.
They got
killed.
Yeah, Texas ran them over.
Texas is going to run over a lot of people.
Texas is going to run over a lot of teams.
But they got beat by LSU.
Texas did get beat. There are some genuine Final Four contenders in the SEC. I think those are two of them.
Yeah,
Texas and LSU. But no, for Auburn, for LV, getting that first conference win,
mm-hmm.
and beating Florida, and that's a game where Auburn was up big early.
Yeah,
and then Florida went on a big run.
Yep.
And then Auburn had to find a way to answer back, and they did, and they beat a Gators team that's also probably looking for answers right now. But it's a nice win, and you want to win, especially at home when you have a chance to win those games. You want to finish them off, and with Coach Vickers, like I'm curious to see what he does with the roster over the next mm-hmm. couple of years. But with this group, with this team, he's getting absolute maximum effort out of his players, and that's all you can ask for. It's good to see in year one with a new
coach.
For
sure, for sure. We haven't even talked about the college playoff football.
We have not mentioned. I mean, the last time, I mean, we had Miami Ole Miss to react to on Friday.
Yeah,
but we have not talked about Indiana just continuing their. You know, they are steamrolling the opposition in this thing. This team, I remember watching the Big Ten championship game. And how it was scoreless, pretty late into the first half, right? It was a low-scoring game, and it's like you wonder, like, how good is this Indiana team going to be? Are they going to be able to find the firepower when you get into the college football playoff and you start seeing teams that you felt like, oh, they're gonna see Ohio State type of teams, in the college football playoff. Will they have the speed? Will they have the firepower? It's like they're destroying teams. They were better than Alabama in every way in that game.
Mm-hmm.
And then they play an Oregon team that also a lot full of blue chippers
mm-hmm.
and draft picks. Yep. And Indiana Oregon couldn't get anything going. Like I'd love to see Miami keep this, keep their sort of Cinderella thing going. But after what you've seen in the college football playoff, like how do you expect anything but a multiple score win by Indiana?
Yeah,
and in the national championship game in football,
yes,
the likeliest outcome feels like Indiana by multiple touchdowns, which feels like something that if you played this segment of The Drive for us like 4 years ago. It's like, hey, it's early January. What are you guys talking about? We're talking about how Indiana in football seems like the overwhelming favorite to win the national championship game because they've driven other teams off the field in this playoff. It's crazy.
Unbelievable.
And it's as for everything we said about Bruce Pearl taking Auburn and turning them from the worst job in the SEC potentially when he got here mm-hmm. to what they were when he left. As impressive as that is, you didn't have that many examples in football. certainly modern ones, where it's like, oh yeah, coach showed up at a school that was really struggling for decades, and he turned them into a contender. You didn't have that. I mean, what, Bobby Bowden did that, right? Mm-hmm. Like Beamer at Virginia Tech did that. Like, there are some times it's happened. There have been some tenures like that.
Yeah.
But very few modern ones. And he did it instantly.
Yeah.
It happened instantly.
Been there 2 years.
He's been there.
Lost two games.
And looks like it's going to be, and looks like a national champion. And maybe, Mendoza playing in his hometown.
How about that?
Maybe the first pick in the draft, too. Mm. I mean, and guy could do the perfect season Heisman Trophy national championship Cam Newton, Joe Burrow sort of hat trick, what a season. And for a guy that I remember, no, I didn't predict this, but I remember watching that Cal game when he came to Auburn in 24 with Cal, and it was like it was play after play where you felt like Auburn's defense was in pretty good position. It's like, oh, it's decent coverage. And just the ball was exactly where it needed to be. Oh, and it was like on money downs, too, on third and longs. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, geez, this guy's killing us. And it's like, are we just having a bad day defensively? Is our coverage just, it's like, no, you're seeing a blossoming superstar.
Mm-hmm.
And a guy that could, I mean, coach, I don't know any more about this stuff, but it sure seems like Mendoza could step onto an NFL team, Drew. Mendoza would be a guy that steps onto an NFL team immediately and makes them like a lot better. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, I mean, I would think that there's, you haven't seen the last of Mendoza after whatever happens in the national championship game, but yeah, it's a pretty remarkable, thing unfolding in Bloomington.
Yeah. It's, my last.
Did you ever play them?
Yeah, well, we played them when I was at Western Kentucky, and they beat us, but barely, at Bloomington. Then we played.
How many people were there?
It was probably pretty full.
Okay.
Early in the season, like the second game.
Okay.
So
I've heard some stories of that place being empty. So.
Not a great atmosphere, I didn't think. Okay, so then we played them at Purdue, and we beat them. Geez.
Yeah, not a place you would ever have thought. Okay, well, the hottest thing in college football is going to be going on here someday.
Yeah, and it's...
And sure enough, Signetti's,
Yeah.
Google him, right?
He's something else.
All you got to do, man, yeah. And, so we'll talk some Auburn Portal when we come back, because there's been some pretty interesting stuff. Folks have been wondering about the line of scrimmage, right? That was something that we would get calls about when we were awaiting the opening of the portal.
Mm-hmm.
It was that question about, well... What's going to happen for all the talk of quarterback and receiver and running back? It's like folks want to know. Well, who's going to be out there? Who's going to be out there in the middle? You know, who's going to be out there at the trenches? And it seems like Auburn has stumbled onto some answers, and they're getting closer to settling on who the likeliest options could be. So we'll talk about that and a whole lot more when we come back. 334-321-1390. That is the Drive Hotline presented by Skybar. He's Don Dunn. I'm Dan Peck. Drew's at the controls. We'll be back with more. This is The Drive.
390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back. Monday edition of The Drive. Dan Peck in the studio with Coach Don Dunn. Love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. We mentioned, that's the Drive Hotline presented by Skybar. We mentioned exciting additions for Auburn's football program in the portal. And I think there were a lot of questions, especially as the names piled up of guys deciding to leave, as more and more of the prominent players from the 25 team with eligibility remaining decided they weren't going to be part of the 26 program. A lot of folks were wondering, well, what's Auburn going to do? And Yes, the answer has come heavily from South Florida as far as what Auburn has looked to do at various positions. They've also landed a couple of players elsewhere, including, I think, both of the guys who look like you're starting tackles.
Mm-hmm.
They retained some interesting young pieces defensively. And for, you know, folks, you've heard it before, Coach, like these programs, a lot of what you're wondering about is at the line of scrimmage. And for Auburn, you know, the thought of an offensive line that's maybe Cale Ellis returning from last year, a young guy who showed some promise at center, a couple of guards from USF that look like, or at least one and maybe two interior offensive linemen from USF, because Auburn picked up an addition today from USF's offensive line, Cole Skinner. Yep. Is the young man's name. He's a veteran for Alex Golish, and a guy who's played a lot of guard this past year and could slot into one of Auburn's vacant guard spots on the offensive line. But this is I like to think that a plan is coming together pretty nicely, and a lot of it in year one does seem to be based around Alex Golish betting on some of the best players from his team at USF making the jump.
Right. You know, he's familiar with them. He knows them. Like you said, first year, probably a pretty good idea. And, again, look what Indiana did, bringing those kids from James Madison. And, you know, I mentioned to Bill, maybe you on Friday, to me, no disrespect, but I think South Florida's a better program
than JMU?
Yeah. Just because, you know,
the overall league is top of the league is stronger.
And not saying that they're not a good team, but, I mean, they were in the playoffs. Yeah. But, yeah, I think that's something you're going to see in the portal. You know, familiarity and bringing them with you that, you know, and the guys that he thinks and knows can play at this level. And we need some D linemen. I know that's probably, we got a spot for maybe one or two of those. And we still got, what, 5 days?
Holding on. Well, so it's kind of a dead period right now. I know they shut it off. If I have this correctly, they shut it off for the coaches' conference.
Yeah, that's always been a deal. I didn't know if they still did that.
I think they do. So, I mean, I think there's still sort of a dead period right now where it'll pick back up towards the weekend.
Wednesday, maybe. You know, they used to do that. The convention used to be a big thing. Everybody, every coach in America would go. I've heard that it's really not a big deal anymore because of all the stuff going on. They're even talking about moving the convention, the National Football Convention. I mean, that used to be – that's where you go to make contacts, take your resume if you're a GA, meet your old buddies. It was a fun time, and it was always a dead period. It was always in January and, you know, like in New Orleans or Nashville and from what I understand, a lot of guys don't go now because of the portal. And, you know, they can't afford to take time off. I'm sure the young coaches try to go, the GAs and the students.
January recruiting has changed a lot.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah.
Like the thought that, like, what?
See, we still had till February.
Yeah. See, the coaches back then, you know, even a couple of years ago, January was a lighter month when it came to recruiting and re-recruiting. But with the portal open, I can understand how
you can't go.
Yeah, a lot of your resources are going towards making sure that everything is settled on the home front. I also, and this is anecdotal, so I could be wrong. I've also heard that like COVID did a number on
the convention's
attendance a couple of years in a row.
And trying to build back it used to be a huge deal.
Even like 18, 19, you know, like even before COVID. So hopefully it gets back, because I've heard great things, you know, from the folks who remember.
Oh yeah, we used how to have it was ball.
And how valuable it could be for a career.
Yeah, and it's a lot of fun back in the old days, but yeah, things have changed. You're not kidding.
No, I like what Auburn. You know, I think at the line of scrimmage, it feels like a nice balance of betting on some guys that he knows really well from his time at South Florida and some guys in the portal that people were really high on in the two transfer tackles. Mm-hmm. And then you've also got Cale Ellis, the mm-hmm. center, who is coming back from last year and was
right. had to play.
Yeah, had to play and was the youngest player in college football last year. But I think, you know, getting a guy like that on the field and getting him some experience, if he can show himself as a guy who needs to be out there, yeah, I think that's a really exciting development because it's a guy who you think could be not just advanced for his age, but also ready to play and ready to contribute right now for an Auburn offensive line that needs some guys to step up and needs some guys to step forward. Receiver is, I mean, I think that after last year, and I'm excited to see what these guys can do because I think it matters that they have chemistry with Byron Brown and that these guys have all played together and it's a group that you know, I think there's value in familiarity between a quarterback and his targets in an era of college football where you're not going to have that because the thought coach of a quarterback and those receivers mm-hmm. like all getting to play another year together,
yeah,
like that's something that you just don't see very often in the sport.
No.
Now they are having to make the jump to face SEC defensive backs,
right?
But I don't know. Like I would if it's the way to get the best out of Byron Brown mm-hmm. and to continue getting the best out of him, then maybe it's more valuable than more five-star recruits in the receiving room, but less chemistry with the quarterback, or even a situation where it's like, well, you had more at receiver last year,
mm-hmm.
but you had less at quarterback than you do right now, and so what? Like, do you? That's the trade-off. And I think most coaches would take that trade, where they would say, yeah. "I'll take a downgrade at receiver if it gets me an upgrade at quarterback."
No doubt, you got to have a quarterback. That's proven. Look at the teams in the playoffs, and you got to have a quarterback.
Yeah, I mean that's not to say receivers because they matter tremendously too.
Right.
Quarterback's got to be able to go
right.
get the ball somewhere. But
right.
I think a superstar receiver isn't something like if you're trying to take a team from bad to good. Superstar receiver may not necessarily be on the top of the list of things that you need, mm-hmm. especially if you have needs everywhere. Now, if you're trying to take a team from very good to great, adding that A-list receiver might be the missing piece.
Yeah.
The missing piece. But when you got missing pieces everywhere, you know, and that felt like something that the previous staff was trying, right? Where it's like, we got missing pieces everywhere. Let's focus on receiver. And think that can boost, you know, or conceal everything else that's missing on offense. And I don't know if that's not the strategy this staff is trying. They're doing something else, and they're prioritizing not just fit, but it does seem like familiarity with Byron Brown is seen as a plus with some of these guys. And I also think there's still promise in some of the younger guys that Auburn has in the receiving room that stuck around. I want to see what another year Bryce Kane looks like. I want to see what Sam Turner and the Smith brothers, like there are some younger players that didn't get on the field because you had these receivers last year, and I think they might be pretty nice players themselves. Mm-hmm. And so that can be something to watch out for. But all told, if you were concerned about how the portal was looking for Auburn as you heard about Auburn players leaving, if you were concerned about that, I would think you should feel pretty good about how things have shaken out for Auburn. You know, you can bemoan the loss of one player or another. I know a lot of folks wanted to see Cam Coleman stick around. I know a lot of folks wanted to see Malcolm
right.
stick around. I know that Jay Crawford and Malik Blockton had a lot of fans. Mm-hmm. Woodyard, like yeah. they're good players.
Yeah.
Deuce Knight obviously had a following and a fan base after the, you know, not just from when he came in as a five-star quarterback, but after the way he looked against Mercer.
Mm-hmm.
I was asked by Doug, like when Auburn, you know, this is weeks ago,
right,
on the Max Roundtable,
right.
I was asked about, I was asked about the thought of passing up Byron Brown
mm-hmm.
to keep Deuce and bet on his potential. And I thought it seemed like a crazy gamble for Alex Golish. I mean, the thought of not taking Byron Brown because you want to, like, I don't know. Like, I just, like, it seems like a huge gamble on potential based on one game against Mercer and a lot of hype as a recruit. And that's, you know, for Deuce, I look, he very well could develop into that superstar. It could start next year at Ole Miss. Mm-hmm. I hope it does, because if he's not the starter, or if he plays his way out of the job at Ole Miss, I don't think the next step's in the SEC. Like, I think he needs to, you know, he needs to make good on that potential as a sophomore, and maybe he will at Ole Miss. But I can understand why, like, Alex Golish was in no position to prioritize keeping Deuce Knight to the extent that it was like, all right, well, we're going to turn down the thought of getting another year. I mean, Byron Brown's made 32 starts with Alex Golish. It just seemed like an easy decision. And if Deuce is the collateral damage in that easy decision, I hold no ill will towards Deuce.
No.
And hope he gets on the field and stays there.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I think I would have done the same thing in that situation, is go with a guy that I know that is proven. I'm familiar with him. I know his, you know, I know his game. I mean, the other kid played a good game against Mercer. You know, we're not playing Mercer every game. So no disrespect to them. But, yeah, I would have done the same thing if I was coach coming in.
And Deuce is we'll talk about this more later. We got to take a break. Great stuff, Coach. 334-321-1390 is the number to dial. Drive Hotline presented by Skybar. We will be back with more. You're listening to the Monday edition of The Drive.
This is Jessica.
067 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back. Final segment of hour number one on the Monday edition of The Drive. Coach, wanted to talk a little bit, and we can spend some of hour number two talking about this as well. But amid everything going on, did want to single out some sad news in a guy that I know you knew and worked with and liked a lot, Jimmy Perry, yeah. Passing away over the weekend.
Yeah, tough time. Just a all around great person. Not only a good football coach, a great football coach, state champion football coach. Just a great guy. Mentored a lot of kids, a lot of people, coaches included. Great family, which you knew the son Danny.
Yeah, Danny's
who played for us.
Danny was on the Auburn football team in the 2000s, and was a friend of mine as a student and a really good guy. And yeah, just like I remember, and part of this was from knowing Danny, but everybody had nice things to say about Jimmy Perry.
Yeah,
like I wish Bill was here today, especially for this,
right?
Because Bill knew so many people in the circle of Auburn and Opelika and Montgomery football,
right,
and Auburn football coaches.
And
he was like the mayor,
yeah,
of that stuff.
And he and Coach Spence McCracken were lifelong friends and worked together. And then Spence went back to work for Jimmy after Jimmy went down to Montgomery, mm-hmm, at St. James. So just a tough situation. I know he'd been dealing with some problems about the last 6 or 7 months, and you know, just a great guy.
Auburn graduate, class of 79.
Yeah.
Was director of high school relations, mm-hmm, for Auburn, mm-hmm, throughout much of the Tuberville,
right,
era.
Right.
Was also the head coach at St. James,
right,
was the head coach at Lee Montgomery, which, right, was his alma mater, was at St. Paul's,
yeah,
won 157 games in 19 years as a high school head coach in the state of Alabama.
Hall of Fame.
Yeah, in the Hall of Fame. And St. James announced just last month that it's going to be Jimmy Perry Stadium.
Right.
They're going to put his name on the stadium.
Right.
Just a guy that influenced a ton of lives.
Yes.
And made a huge impact and will be remembered so fondly.
Yeah.
By so many people. Yeah. And if you read up a little bit on Jimmy Perry if you didn't get a chance to know him personally, because he was a very, very good man.
Great guy.
And all the best to his friends, and he had a lot of them.
Oh, yeah.
And his family as well. So just wanted to make sure we got that that in there, and we'd love to hear from you again. 334-321-1390, the Drive Hotline presented by our friends at Skybar. We will be back with more. Hour number two coming up. This is The Drive.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in hour number two of the Monday edition of The Drive. I am pausing so I don't say the wrong word.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't misidentify the day, which you don't think you're going to do until you're in this chair, right? Until you're like, you always hear Bill say the wrong day and you think, oh, God, how could you, when you're thinking about a million things.
Yeah.
And you're not always thinking about it. Is it Monday? Is it Tuesday? It is the Monday edition of The Drive. We are live on ESPN 106.7 and ESPNAU.com. I'm Dan Peck. That's the coach, Don Dunn. He's in here all week with different hosts, Brian Matthews, Jacob Goins, mm-hmm. Justin Ferguson, and tomorrow, Jason Caldwell.
For sure.
So it should be a really exciting week here on The Drive with different different voices coming in to pinch hit with Bill Cameron in the Caribbean, sailing away, lime in the coconut,
yeah,
enjoying himself, and Drew's going to be at the controls the whole time. I got basketball this week, so I'm on the road starting tomorrow. My adventure will probably not be as tropical as Bill's. I'm headed straight through Mississippi, which, Coach, you can tell people. You don't realize how big Mississippi is until you drive through it, right?
Yeah, it's pretty good size state.
You go from one side, sure. Yeah. You go from one side to the other.
Yeah.
I'm headed to Monroe for Troy and ULM on Wednesday night, and then Texas State on Saturday. I will be out of commission as well. But I mean, again, we started the show talking about it, like really exciting weekend for Auburn. Yes, you landed some names you're excited about. We didn't even talk about the running back.
Right.
We can get into that. Like the fact that Auburn, I mean, Washington is, I mean, he's one of the few guys you could go get in the portal who had 1,000-yard season for a Power 4 conference team,
mm-hmm.
in his career.
Mm-hmm.
And now that you've got, I mean, you already knew about Cobb, like to add, and you're bringing in Davenport, like to add Washington to that room is, I mean, you maybe got better,
yeah,
at running back from a room where people thought between Damari and Jeremiah a year ago you could have a really exciting 1-2 punch. But between the additions from the portal at different spots of interest and the gut check you got from Auburn men's basketball,
mm-hmm.
and I started the show talking about it, but that is such a, it's such an important win for a team that was reeling. Like that's a game where a team that isn't wired for success could get knocked out, could get dropped, and could have the effects of the last couple of games lingering in a negative way.
Yeah.
They could be dejected or unfocused,
right,
or off their game and unaware of how important the game actually was. And Saturday's game was important for Auburn to settle things down and remind everybody, including themselves, that they're still Auburn, they still do some things extremely well, and if you're not ready to play, they can run you off the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to listen, tell you what, Coach, I got to listen to the second half. So there's a, there's an app called Varsity Network. Mm-hmm. I'll give them a free plug here. I probably shouldn't, but I'm going to do it anyway. There's an app called Varsity Network. It's free. You can download it. And it is a way to listen to local radio calls of different college basketball and football games. If you want to tune in and hear, you know, how the opposing team's radio people, or if you want to get, you know, one side or the other. So I was listening to Arkansas call probably the last 5 minutes. Heard some of Andy's call too, and Andy was doing great. But I, and as always, you should listen to Andy on the ESPN on Wings 94.3.
Yeah.
He's listening, so I've got to be especially. I wanted to see what sort of the takeaways were from the Arkansas side of things, and they were watching their team get run off the floor. They were watching their team that just simply did not have it in that game. And it was exactly what Auburn. It was the exact kind of performance Auburn needed to deliver in a situation where that's when they needed to come up big.
Yeah, no kidding. And it is fun to listen to other radio stations. I mean, some of these guys are such
such
homers. It's just so funny.
I'll tell you what, there wasn't an edge of, like, anger about it. It wasn't as though
– or shock, maybe.
Yeah, I don't think the Arkansas guys were all that it wasn't like, oh, this is being, you know, this is being taken from us. It was being taken to them,
right?
And you know, their team it was and they really didn't, you know, they knew, like, oh, there's going to be there was even some of that, like, these next couple days of practice, right? Like it's going to be, and you made a good point earlier. It could be the position coaches feeling the heat and knowing, like, they can't have their group deliver another performance like that.
Yeah.
To the head man. Like, that's.
Like, if you're coaching the centers or whatever, the forwards, and they play bad, it's tough. Yeah. Yeah. But I used to love out recruiting on Friday nights, listening to the wherever I was driving through. And I drove a lot, like you were saying, through Mississippi and South Alabama. The high school football coaches, I mean, the broadcast.
Oh, yeah.
Some of these characters. It's a classic. They'll just be yelling out stuff,
and they're
broadcasting from the top of a building.
And these teams and these radio teams, these guys have known each other forever.
Yeah, right? Claude and Bill. And they're just look at that boy go. It's the
best, man.
It's great.
And they get some gas station chicken.
Oh yeah, afterward. Chicken on a stick.
Gotta get
that.
All right. 334-321-1390. We're wide open. Mention again, a huge win for Auburn men's basketball in an SEC that still feels pretty wide open. A&M, one of the only undefeated teams.
And Vanderbilt.
And Vanderbilt is, you've got folks talking one seed. You've got folks talking about about Vanderbilt as a genuine Final Four contender. Like, this is Mark Byington has done an amazing job turning that program around.
And their women's team's doing well.
Their women's team's undefeated
too. And their football team.
They've hired some sharp people.
Yeah.
I mean, you look and they've hired a couple of coaches that really seem to have been able to. Because it's not as though Vanderbilt's going out there in the portal and beating out all the superpowers.
Right.
Like, they do seem to have their NIL ducks in a row because they can hold on to some players, mm-hmm. but they're having to identify the bargains mm-hmm. that make sense for their coaches. And they're hitting at a phenomenal rate right now. And Mark Byington's got a team that folks think is as good as just about anybody in the SEC, excited to see what that looks like when they play some more conference games. But they got some wins this week, and for Auburn, you 1-2 start, but it's not 0-3. It's not Auburn trying to dig out of
0-3 and then going on the road.
Yeah, going on the road against a team that just that just let one slip away.
Right.
Against Missouri, against Ole Miss. Mm-hmm. So no, I think it's just one game, and you can't let it stop you from succeeding this week. But this, I think this Auburn team hopefully tapped into something they can find more often. And with Keyshawn Hall and Tahad Pettiford, I thought it was important, Coach, that they were getting their teammates involved early. Mm-hmm. And that's something that when you have a couple of great scorers on your team and guys that are willing to take a lot of shots, they can't just take all the shots and then wait for the fourth quarter and start passing because they're tired and because they're getting double teamed. Like they need to get their teammates involved early and often, and I thought they did a great job of distributing, and Keyshawn Hall's getting better at learning where his new teammates are going to be and what they need to do when he's double teamed, and I just think this is an offense that's probably ahead of what people thought it was going to be at this point of the season, and there's reason to think it could get better. You've got freshmen that are gaining more experience. You've mm-hmm. got Elijah Freeman, who I think is getting better by the week as he gains D1 experience, and then Keyshawn Hall and Todd Pettiford are learning the tendencies of these new teammates, and this is that performance against Arkansas was the culmination. I mean, and it's three games where your offense hasn't really been the problem,
right?
I mean, Auburn scored 100 against Georgia.
Auburn 90. Yeah,
I mean, Auburn nearly scored the game-winning three-pointer against Texas A&M, mm-hmm. But then they were just, it was a hot knife through butter. Arkansas's defense had no answers mm-hmm. for what Auburn wanted to do, and I wonder if that's something we could see more in SEC play. Missouri's got to be watching that performance and thinking, mm-hmm. boy, when Auburn has it going, when Auburn can get rolling, it's tough to stop their momentum.
Yeah, no doubt, big win.
334-321-1390, the number to dial. We will we'll take a break. We'll come back with more. We did want to mention Andy Burcham might need to be rescheduled from his appearance tomorrow. He is going to be traveling to Missouri when he's usually on the show. So we'll figure out maybe another time to talk with the voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham. He's Don Dunn. I'm Dan Peck, Drew at the controls. We'll be back with more. You are listening to the Monday edition of The Drive.
This is Lee County Revenue Commission.
334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Monday edition of The Drive. Dan Peck in the studio with the coach, Don Dunn, and Drew at the controls, mentioning a couple things that we've talked about. Auburn, some exciting portal additions for Auburn in a busy portal cycle. You're seeing some big names find their homes. We'll mention Baylor a couple of times in this segment. Mm-hmm. I think that the addition of DJ Lagway is an interesting addition for Baylor, and it gives us an idea of who could be playing quarterback when Auburn opens with Baylor in Atlanta. The thought that it's going to be Byron Brown against DJ Lagway is remember Lagway was the quarterback when USF beat Florida in Gainesville.
Mm-hmm.
They could both find new homes, but they could be rematching as quarterbacks, I think it seems like a big year for Dave Aranda. It seems like Baylor's got to figure some things out.
Yeah.
And produce and
right.
and make some headway in a wide open Big 12. So DJ Lagway is the choice for Baylor as they look to find a new quarterback, and it's going to be it's a big season for those parties, right? For Baylor and for Aranda and for Lagway. Like these are it's a pivotal season, and it opens against this new look Auburn team. And one of the players that they will see on the Auburn side is Bryson Washington.
Yeah.
The
running back.
The running back who something like 1,800 plus yards the last 2 years, had 1,000 yards in 24. He was a big part of our preview of Auburn Baylor because he was coming off of that 1,000-yard season and looked like he could be a difference maker and had a couple of really big games right after the Auburn game. He was fantastic in the wins over what they beat SMU and Arizona State after losing to Auburn. And he looked great in both of those games, and I think got hurt shortly thereafter. But this is a guy with big play potential, and just you need running backs, plural, because of the physicality of the position. You retain Jeremiah Cobb, which I've made the point, Coach, is the Cobb retention is huge because so many of the guys like Jeremiah Cobb moved on. Mm-hmm. Like so many of the guys that played the last couple of years, you know, decided they were going to try their luck somewhere else. To keep Jeremiah Cobb in the fold and to be able to sell him on finishing what he started and sticking around and trying to leave Auburn in a better place, trying to build something, like it's commendable. Mm-hmm. Not to criticize any of the guys who chose to leave, because that's their right, and probably would do the same thing if you had, you know, the opportunity available. Like but it's tough to sit here and throw stones. But for Jeremiah Cobb, who would have had, you have to imagine there would have been a market for Jeremiah Cobb services. Guy ran the ball the way he did this season at Auburn and could go practically anywhere. For him to stick around, and then to add Bryson Washington to that, mm-hmm. and presumably to retain Omar and Alvin Henderson, who are, like, you're talking about two really intriguing true freshmen that didn't see the field very much.
Right.
That were both running backs that a lot of schools wanted coming out of high school. Mm-hmm. I think they've, you know, that's for all of the cost cutting and for all of the big name players deciding to leave, that's a position where maybe they've gotten stronger. Maybe they've gotten even better. And the retention of Jeremiah Cobb helps, but it's not the only reason that right. maybe they've gotten better. And that's if you want to run the ball with the quarterback, it helps if you've got. I mean, you've seen this, Coach. You've scouted it too.
Yeah.
Like when a team's got a running threat at quarterback, and you've also got to worry about the guys that he hands the ball to, makes it even tougher.
Yeah, no doubt. It's in the last 5, 6, 10 years, the quarterback's become more involved with the run game. And it gives you an extra guy, basically, when the quarterback can run. Now you got good running backs that can not only run but block, and know the pass blocking schemes.
Veterans.
I agree with you. I think we've gotten a lot better at the running back spot. I was worried about it earlier. Then you hear all these rumors, well, so-and-so's leaving, so-and-so's, you know, staying. But like you said, with the young man Cobb staying, that's big.
Yeah, and with the best rushing quarterbacks Auburn's ever had, generally they've been guys that had a running back having a big season right next to them.
Right.
Right. You look at Cam, you look at Nick Marshall in 13. Like, these were seasons where, I mean, Jarrett Stidham ran the ball some, but Kerryon Johnson was such a huge part of that offense in 17. Like, these are quarterbacks where it's, you know, for Brown, he's going to want to have that option. And defense is buying that option as a real threat. And with running backs like Cobb and Washington, and we'll see what Davenport brings in from USF, but you've got him too.
Right.
And you've got two freshmen that can come back and look like they are coming back and could make a push for playing time as well. It's like, it's a healthy room.
Yes.
That's for a healthy room at an important position. If you're going to run the ball as much as Auburn wants to, if you're going to run the ball with the quarterback as much as Auburn wants to, you need the running backs that can do a lot of different things, and you need a lot of them. And it seems like that's what Auburn's got going into 26. And I think that's probably led by, even though Washington is a very accomplished back in his own right, led by Jeremiah Cobb, who, again, made that decision to come back with with ample reason to leave if he wanted to after the up and down success of Auburn, mostly down with Jeremiah Cobb on the team, but he's choosing to stick around and build Auburn build Auburn back and try to lead Auburn out of it. And so, yeah, I'm glad he's back. And then Bryson Washington makes it a really interesting room that Alex Golish has assembled. And that's before you get into some of the younger players
right.
and some of the other transfers. It's a really solid 1-2 at the top of the depth chart.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. That all positive from what I can tell. You know, you got to have that quarterback, I'm telling you. And you got to have that guy next to him.
I mean, there are some stories out there, too, about what teams will pay for that quarterback. And, I mean, between Dylan Raiola from Nebraska is probably going to be the replacement for Dante Moore because it's expected he's going to go pro, the Oregon quarterback. So Raiola's going there. It sounds like Sam Leavitt. There were questions about where he could go. LSU. It sounds like they were getting very close at Tennessee, and he decided to choose LSU instead. Who knows what kind of what kind of Will Wade style big offer LSU made in that situation. And I think there was an article over the weekend. I think Tuscaloosa News had this that Miami negotiated with Ty Simpson for Simpson to be Carson Beck's replacement at Miami next year
instead of going pro.
Yeah. Now there are some pro people who say Simpson's the third best quarterback on the board, would be the second best if Dante Moore stayed in college, which people don't necessarily expect. But there have been some. I think ESPN's guy has Simpson as the number three quarterback on the board right now in the NFL draft. But the number, I guess the Tuscaloosa News story said Miami came in with $4 million and Ty Simpson said, no thanks, I'm going to the NFL. Came back with $5 million and Ty Simpson said, no thanks, I'm going to the NFL. And it got to $6.5 million. And he said, no thanks, I'm going to play in the NFL next season instead. So that's, and again, it's, we haven't actually seen the contracts, these secondhand, third-hand reports, but I believe it. Based on some of the talk about, what some of these quarterbacks have been asking for and what some quarterbacks have been open about receiving and what playoff victories could mean to a program, I think that's the other thing, right? Like the amount of money that a program stands to make by advancing in the college football playoff. Like Carson Beck was worth every penny
of whatever
Miami paid him.
Yeah.
And I could see why they're saying, I mean, these numbers sound big, and they are relative to the average person's salary, but like as a drop, they're relative drops in the bucket for a school's marketing budget or a school's overall operating budget. And when you look and see how, like Coach, you remember when Nick Saban got hired at Alabama, and there were people appalled at that amount of money. Oh, how can you pay a college football coach $7 million, $8 million? And it's like, I think they got a return on their investment. When you think about all the different ways that, the rising tide lifts all boats, the way that money can start flowing into the university in different ways if the football team starts winning big.
Oh, yeah.
And for schools, I think some of that logic extends to quarterback. Like I think some of that extends to, well, if you want us to win big, you can pay the coach, but the coach is probably going to tell you I need a great quarterback out there, and if there's someone you think could be the difference between winning and losing, I mean, that sounds like you wonder what the cost of doing business is. It's like that there's your cost of doing business right there. But yeah, some talk sounds like Leavitt could be, Arizona State's quarterback the last couple of years. It sounds like Leavitt could be Kiffin's guy in Baton Rouge moving forward as they look to. And it's the other thing about the portal, Coach. It's not about building to year three.
No.
And waiting until your seeds have grown into plants that bear fruit.
It's now.
It's now. Yeah. It's now. And I think for somebody like Lane Kiffin, right, coming off of
a lot of pressure,
that buzzy offseason and going into his first year at LSU, there's going to be a ton of pressure.
Yeah.
I think there's pressure on a Sumrall or a Golish too. they're not jumping from the same kind of situation.
No.
So that's not the same kind of pressure.
They didn't leave a situation like he did either.
No, but I think for Kiffin, finding a quarterback in year one and assuming that he's going to give you the chance to win games immediately, like that's it was probably a safe bet that's what he was going to do.
Right.
And with Sam Levitt, you've got a guy who you know has won a conference title. Won the Big 12 a couple of years ago. Had an injury plagued season this year, but is headed from Arizona State to LSU. We mentioned the quarterback from the Cutter Bowley, the quarterback that beat Auburn as Kentucky's starter. Right. He's replacing Levitt at Arizona State. A lot of movement around the league of different quarterbacks. Switching. I mean, that's like Stockton, assuming Gunnar Stockton stays at Georgia, like he'll be one of the very few starting quarterbacks in the league back from last year. I mean, Arch Manning, Stockton, Reed at A&M.
Right.
I guess Sellers at South Carolina is back, but it's a very, very short list of guys who spent most of last year starting that will be back for the same team in the SEC. And that's, you know, Auburn won't have that, but they will have a quarterback who started 30-something games for this head coach and this coaching staff.
And this system.
And this system as part of Auburn's starting quarterback, as part of Auburn's quarterback attack for the 26 season. 334-321-1390, the number to dial Dan Peck. Coach Don Dunn in the house on a Monday afternoon. We'll be back with more. You are listening to The Drive.
Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back. Monday edition of The Drive. Dan Peck, Coach Don Dunn in the house talking. A lot of Auburn today after a busy weekend with Auburn making some splashy acquisitions in the portal. Some teams on Auburn's schedule making some big additions as well.
And our big, from what I've understood or what I hear, our buddies up the road are struggling a little bit in the portal.
Yeah, you know,
who knows?
I mean, we'll see. I mean, I think that's you have heard some really big time players linked to Alabama that end up choosing other schools. Cam Coleman going to Texas
after visiting,
and I thought Texas. There was talk of Texas from the moment he went into the portal.
Mm-hmm.
They are. I was just talking about teams that maybe want to make the jump from very good to great. Texas was nearly in the playoff. They want to provide Arch Manning with as much as possible. I think that's a team that maybe is in position to spend on a luxury good like a great receiver in 2026 because they've got a lot of the foundational pieces already in place. Rebuilding team in year one.
Mm-hmm.
As much as you'd love Cam Coleman around, do you sacrifice building at the line of scrimmage? Or do you sacrifice being able to give your quarterback what he needs because you're keeping Cam Coleman around? I can understand why Auburn maybe had to make the difficult choice there if it was indeed Auburn's choice. Because you also, I mean, it could be Cam Coleman's ready for something brand new and it wasn't about what can Auburn offer. It's about Cam Coleman wanting to get a fresh start somewhere else in what will likely be his final year of college football.
Yeah, I would be shocked if he comes back after next year. And again, I'd rather have a quarterback than a receiver. That's just, I think that's so, like we were talking earlier, more important. And he's a great player, Cam is, no doubt. But I was a little shocked that he left, but then I thought he might really end up at Alabama.
You know, I thought Bama and Georgia, if he wanted to stay local, there wasn't really any buzz.
It didn't mean a big thing being homesick or anything.
Yeah,
like
there wasn't a ton of buzz about Georgia in the portal either.
No, I mean, sounded like he was from them.
Sounded like Texas and Texas A&M were the big players for Cam when he went into the portal, and
right.
And those are, you know, A&M was a school that he almost picked on signing day.
Yes.
And Texas is a – Texas seemed like a landing spot where they went into the portal without a ton of needs. You know, they retain a lot of their players from this year, and mm-hmm. they feel good about sort of some of the steps they took. But mm-hmm. they didn't live up to their potential in 2025, and there is pressure to get better. And that was a position where they needed to get better and needed to, you know, maybe make a splash with the biggest name in the portal or one of the biggest names in the portal. And they go out and they get Cam Coleman. So
yeah,
for Auburn, it's it's certainly a new. I mean, you've turned the page at receiver, right? Like you look and mm-hmm. it is no more Malcolm, no more Perry, no more Cam. Bryce Kane is back, but you barely saw Bryce Kane,
right?
Eric Singleton's going to Florida, yeah. following Marcus, the receivers coach, mm-hmm. and going to Florida. But it's going to look very different. It's going to look very different all over the team for Auburn, but it's going to look very different at receiver next year. And you know, I think counting on it, Golish is banking on the chemistry between the USF receivers and Byron Brown. Carrying over, and maybe one of those guys being kind of a lottery ticket as far as the guys he inherited, right? Like maybe someone can step up and be more than they've shown so far, which is, I mean, if one of those guys can look like a rotational piece at receiver, it would be progress, right? From, you know, Bryce barely played, although I relayed the story, and I think it's true, and other beat writers will tell you it's true as well. Bryce Kane, every media viewing window, Bryce Kane would get open. Bryce Kane would make catches. Bryce Kane would look like a guy who, if you called his number on game day, would do fine. He's been playing behind some excellent receivers, so he has not gotten his number called very often. But I won't be surprised at all if Bryce Kane surprises people over the next few months and makes a push for playing time. The Smith brothers were both true freshmen
right.
this past year. Similar deal. They look physically ready. The technique, the skill needs to match up to the physical attributes.
Maturity, yeah.
And on a team loaded with receiver talent.
Yeah, it's hard to get on the field.
Hard to get on the field, but we'll see what they can do over the next few months in year one for Alex Golish.
Right.
And Sam Turner was in the portal and then whatever they told him, it convinced him to stick around.
Yeah.
So you've got several. Yeah. You know, again, I would get back to like lottery tickets. You've got several young players at receiver that could advance themselves. You know, could put themselves in position to be reliable and relied upon in 2026. But that would, you know, they would need to take a step forward. But the fact that the coaching staff wants them around, I think, is maybe a sign that they see some potential in guys
upside,
like that. Upside,
yes, for sure.
And then you'll have some veterans from this coming in with the coaches and with the quarterback from South Florida. So yeah, it's again about a lot of it seems based around the idea that you've got that connection between the coach and the quarterback.
Yeah,
and you've got a quarterback who has succeeded and who has played a ton of college football.
Yes. And like you said earlier, we improve our running back room. That helps the receivers. So if you don't run the ball like we were unable to run the ball or we refused to run the ball last year, if we run it, and I think we will, it's going to help our receivers.
And to me, that, you know, the surprising thing about – one of the reasons I like the Byron – I mean, there's a bunch of reasons to like the Byron Brown edition. I keep mentioning that he started 32 games.
Right.
Like that seems to me – in an era of, I remember when college football players would leave after 1 year,
yeah.
and it was like really ill-advised because that's a position where, I mean, you've seen it, Coach.
Mm-hmm.
That's a position where the more you play, generally speaking, the easier it all gets, right? Like it becomes less overwhelming. It slows down. It is like, and that's why a lot of the best quarterbacks in college football tend to be seniors, tend to be guys who have played a lot. And I can understand why an NFL team would be very skeptical of a college football quarterback who's only taken, who's only played. Ty Simpson would be an example of this.
Yeah,
where it's like you've been a starter for Dante Moore. Like you've really only been a starter for 1 year. It's been a very successful year. It's been a very promising year, but is there a benefit to getting as much experience as possible in college before trying to make that jump to the pros and to where, because you talk about things needing to slow down and you talk about like things that, like that, that is like that jump. It's, I don't know. I mean, I've seen such gifted quarterbacks, and coach, maybe you've seen you're like the thought of, oh, I thought he was going to have no problem making that jump. Yeah. And it's like, that's not how it went at all.
No, that's a huge jump. That's night and day, buddy.
And it's so I would think that wanting to play as much as possible would be the choice.
Yeah, helpful.
If you can help it. But yeah, still got some guys who might leave eligibility on the table to go play. And if you're a first round pick and you're hearing
if you're told, and they'll tell you, they'll give you an honest evaluation. If you're, you know, top one or two, you gotta probably do it. As much as fans, we hate to see you go, but you, as a coach, you cannot tell a guy if he's in the top to stay.
That's a big, you know, kind of getting back to Alex Golish and Deuce Knight, though.
Like, right.
That's a huge gamble. That's an important.
Right.
That's a big bet on someone who has shown you it's a small sample size. Like that's where, and I guess the sample, if you're talking about, if you're evaluating Ty Simpson as a pro or Dante Moore as a pro, like their sample size is larger certainly than the conversation about Deuce Knight, but you'd want to see as much as possible. Like you'd want to see as much, and I could see why getting as many snaps under your belt as possible for a college quarterback would be beneficial. You see all those defenses, you see all those different you get all those different learning opportunities. And then you make the jump to the NFL, as opposed to, I mean, trying to. There's, I mean, not only are you gambling in the sense that you're leaving that NIL money on the table, but you're also gambling in the sense that, like, are you as ready for the NFL as you could be?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, again, like you said, if you're being told you're a top five pick or a top 15 pick, you probably have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like, I mean. With Ty Simpson, it's like the thought of going and being someone's hero somewhere else would be kind of a
$6 million.
I could see the appeal of
wow. I don't know. I mean, what's a rookie make? I don't even know what a rookie quarterback makes in the pros.
Gets you a pretty nice apartment in South Beach, coach.
Yeah. Oh man, $6 million in Miami. Come on, man.
334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline presented by our friends at Skybar. I'll tell you what, we'll take a break and we'll come back to wrap things up. Final segment of the show. Dan Peck, Coach Don Dunn on a Monday. Stick around. This is The Drive.
What's up, Auburn fans? This is Jack Cutton. Hey, join Carson Meyer and me this weekend for After the Game.
Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Final segment of the Monday edition of The Drive. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Dan Peck, Coach Don Dunn in the house on a Monday. No Monday musing from Brian. We might play the Wings 94-3 game where we try to guess what's currently playing on Wings 94-3. we'll check the stream and see what happened. My guess would be, I don't know, something by Tom Petty. You know, it's probably a pretty, you know, that's a solid
Monday afternoon.
Oh, that's a, yeah, yeah. It's a solid Monday afternoon. It's a Monday afternoon choice. Monday night playoff action tonight.
Unusual.
Drew's Steelers.
Uh-oh.
Who are tough to beat in Pittsburgh on a Monday. I mean, they have been 21 game winning streak? Is it 23 game? 23 straight home Monday night wins for Pittsburgh. And going back to the early 90s, and they've got Houston tonight. The winner of that game goes to a New England next week. We already mentioned, so Josh Allen is a favorite on the road against Bo Nix next week in the AFC playoffs. That should be a really, really good one. And the Rams are favored on the road against the Chicago Bears after that amazing comeback on Saturday night as the Bears looked. I mean, they looked dead in the water early in that. What was it, 21-3?
Yeah.
Early in the, I mean, 18-point Green Bay lead. And Caleb Williams and company, they fire back with a huge fourth quarter and a historic rally to advance the NFL playoffs.
Speaking of Nix, did we mention Friday that Coach Nix is retiring? Did we talk about it on the air?
Did we? I don't know if we talked about that on the air. Yeah.
And they hired a guy that had been there before. Is it Dubose? Is that right? Before?
So Patrick Nix resigned on Thursday last week after six seasons as the head coach at Phoenix City. And I believe he is pursuing the ministry. Is going to be what the story is with Patrick. We didn't talk about that on the air, but that's of course he's Bo's dad. And it's crazy to think that we live in a world where the first thing you identify about Patrick Nix is that he's Bo Nix's father.
Yeah.
But he's also, I mean, yeah, what, 38-4 at Pinson Valley. He was 65-14 as the head coach of Central Phoenix City. Of course, had a highly successful career as an Auburn quarterback and a college offensive coordinator, Georgia Tech, Miami, among his stops. So a great run as a football coach, and putting that aside to go spread the word. So all the best to Patrick Nix
for sure
in his retirement. We talked a little bit about it in the first hour too, Coach. Very sad news. About Jimmy Perry. Who was a huge part of Alabama high school football and was Auburn's player development and high school relations guy.
Did a great job
for years and years, and did a great job, and had a lot of a lot of friends.
Yes, for sure. Sad times, and condolences to him and his family, and he'll be missed.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely. Let's get to Dak, who's hanging on. What's up, Dak?
Hey guys, how are y'all doing today?
Doing all right. Good to hear from you.
Yeah. I'm glad y'all mentioned Coach Perry there. Great man, hell of a coach, but even better man. And went up against him many times, and his teams were always well prepared. But the biggest thing is he prepared young men to become grown men. He really did a fantastic job wherever he was at. And then we had the luxury of having him at Auburn for a while, and did a great job for the high school coaches. But I just wanted to say that about Coach Perry since y'all brought it up. But I do want to say what Coach Dunn said about Coach Dubose going back to Central, that is not confirmed. I believe that is fake news. Somebody.
Oh, really?
I'm
sorry. I just saw it on my phone.
Yeah,
that shows you why I shouldn't look at the phone.
Well, let me tell you, everybody called me about it this morning.
Yeah,
and so I called Dubose, and he said, "No, that's fake news." And so that is not confirmed. But it is fake news.
The news about Patrick's retirement is real. Patrick Nix is retiring to pursue the ministry.
Right.
There has not been an announcement from Phoenix City Schools about the next coach.
Okay, good.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Well, you know, everybody believed it. I mean, I believed it, so I called him to congratulate him. Said, "Yeah, that's fake news." He just took the Bamber's job.
I know. Good Lord!
Could you imagine that superintendent seeing that?
Yeah. You know what?
Probably weren't the only one calling him.
Yeah, stuff's happened. That just goes to show you the internet. I think I've made a comment that it's one of my buddies that the internet, social media, and no true two-a-days have destroyed this country.
That's right. Well, one last thing, I'll let you go.
Hey, Dak, we're losing you a little bit. We weren't having a problem understanding you until just now.
compare it to our two teams this past season, basically with the wins, losses. I want to compare how Florida does in transfer portal to our guys.
Okay.
I think that'll be a good assessment.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
Thank
you. Y'all got to have a good one.
Yeah, I think Sumrall's probably under a comparable amount of pressure as Golich. I mean, those are both places that feel like they belong in the top tier of the SEC and feel like they should beat their rivals more often than they do, and have made some pretty bold moves here to go get in demand coaches. And so, yeah, for Sumrall, Singleton's a big pickup. I know they went and got Georgia Tech's backup quarterback that folks believe, you know, could be in position to be a pretty good addition. And you know, Sumrall did not bring a ton of Tulane with him. They were more senior led, and were, you know, a lot of their best players are out of eligibility, mm-hmm. so it wasn't an option for him to do that the way Golich has brought a lot of the core of that South Florida team with him. But no, I think that's going to be, those two are going to be compared to each other, I think, a lot, because they both joined the SEC from the mid-major ranks during the same offseason, and Sumrall was linked to Auburn throughout so much of the 25 season, and Golich beat Florida, and a lot of folks thought Golich could be a candidate at UF. So yeah, I think that linking those two, like those two are going to, you know, we'll see how often those two are compared to one another over the next few seasons. Thanks for the call, Dak. Great stuff, and yeah, glad you cleared that up about Central Phoenix City
for sure.
Got to be careful about that.
Yeah,
the rest of the week, Coach. You're not going to have me and Dak.
Yeah, I'm not going to say anything.
Got to use two sources, right? Yeah. AP style.
Okay.
Rest of the week should be a lot of fun. Jason Caldwell on Tuesday. Brian Matthews on Wednesday. Jacob Goins is going to stick around from on the line on Thursday. Justin Ferguson is going to be in the house on Friday. So a lot of fun, a lot of portal stuff going on that Jason and Brian will be ready to break down.
For sure.
Also a basketball game with Auburn and Missouri going on the road
Wednesday.
On Wednesday night. You can catch that on Wings 94.3 with Andy and the coach doing the call from courtside at Mizzou Arena. I was there earlier this season.
Mm-hmm. Trojans
picked up a win at Mizzou. That's one of Ferguson's favorite trips.
Yeah.
In the conference, Como, a neat little town, new addition to the league. I will be off the rest of the week, getting ready for Troy
women's luck.
Basketball
Good luck. At Safe ULM travels.
And at Texas State. So yeah, getting ready for some time on the bus. These next few days.
I used to love the old bus rides. Yeah, Everybody else hated them. I loved them.
I got to limber up and get the sleep schedule ready for bus time. But I'll be all right these next couple of days. Love getting these. You know, love the energy of a road conference game.
Yeah,
right. If you ever get the chance to go see Auburn away from Neville Arena in the league, like, go do it, you know,
especially now.
Yeah.
And the SEC is so good.
Yeah. Have a blast whenever you get to go to one of those. And I always really enjoy, like playing at home's great too. And Troy had a great crowd on Saturday for Ark State.
Right.
But these road conference games and the energy you get sometimes from those fans, especially when your opponent's doing well.
Exactly.
And there's something on the line for them too. Like it's always a lot of fun. So yeah, get ready for some road games this week, and I'll be on the bus. So if there's an emergency, I probably can answer the phone. So keep me posted. if you guys need a cameo, if you need a drop in,
this will be interesting.
I might do it, but I'm going to be listening and really looking forward to the shows this week. So we really appreciate it. Drew, keep everything
us in line.
That's
Drew.
Right. Keep everything on time. These next, you're the rhythm section of this of this show. The next couple of days, and we're going to need you for Coach Don Dunn. And for Drew, who did a great job today and will do a great job all week long, Dan Peck signing off. I will talk to you guys again on Monday, but make sure you're listening into The Drive all week long as we have our rotating hosts along with the coach, Don Dunn. For Don Dunn and Drew at the controls, Dan Peck signing off. Good night.